So Uncle Jimmy on Good Friday goes down to St. Pat's Cathedral, and who's preaching but the famous Archbishop Fulton Sheen? Now, for those that don't know, Archbishop Sheen was terrifically popular. He was one of the most popular people in the country, and he had a TV show just on regular CBS. So like he was on Channel 8 and not sort of all religious and stuff, right? And so he was amazing. He's preaching this terrific sermon, and it's Good Friday, and it's springtime, and so Uncle Jimmy leaves, and he's walking back to his hotel, and, you know, the sun is shining, and it's warm out. There probably aren't birds chirping because it's New York, it's more like horns honking, but he's there, and he's in the city, and he passes a hot dog stand. And he doesn't even think about it, because he says, I'm in New York! So he gets the biggest, juiciest, sloppiest dog he can, and he starts eating it. And by the time he gets back to the hotel, he's about halfway through, and he catches his own reflection in the window of the front of the hotel. And he sees that he is eating a hot dog on Good Friday. So he throws the rest of the dog in the trash, he runs back to the church, they're hearing confessions, and he gets in line for the confessional, and he has to wait an hour or two to get in. And he gets into the confessional, And who's hearing the confessions but Archbishop Sheen? Well, now he's all sort of, he's running 100 miles a minute, and I'm meeting Spector and Milo and here, and he tells him he did. And Bishop Sheen listens real careful and says, slow down. You say you're a meeting Spector? Yeah. From Iowa? Yeah. And you're worried because you ate a hot dog? Yeah. Well, sir, you of all people should know you couldn't possibly have broken facts. Uncle Jimmy always used to tell that story at the beginning of Lent, and not on Good Friday. And I think the reason that he did was because it's real easy for us to take this time, to take the next 6 weeks, and make it a kind of a game with ourselves, right? We set a goal, we make a resolution. I'm not going to have chocolate, I'm not going to have booze, I'm not going to have meat, whatever the thing is, right? And we're just seeing if we can make it, seeing if we can keep up with the promises we make to ourselves. But you know, the whole reason we're here today is because on our own, we can't keep any of the promises we make to ourselves. That's why we're wearing purple with repentance. That's why we take this time to go to confession. Because we've broken the promises we've made to ourselves and to other people 1,000 times. We've knelt altars to gods that aren't the true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for times that we do now. Because we screw up, and we screw up a lot. And it's good, at least every once in a while, to be real honest with ourselves about what's right in our lives and what's wrong. The penances, the disciplines of the season are important. I'm not saying don't give up chocolate or booze or whatever your thing is. Do it. But it's not magic. And it's not just meant to impose an extra burden on us, right? It's meant to give us direction and scope. The discipline of Lent is just like discipline for a sport or in practicing an instrument. It's meant to make us more nimble, more flexible, so that we can do what we were supposed to be doing the whole time. That's why the Lord says, when we fast, we shouldn't look like we're fasting. When we do penance, we shouldn't look like we're doing penance. When we give alms, we shouldn't look like we're giving alms. Because the flexibility of the gospel means we have to be willing to go to places we wouldn't otherwise go. That's why it's so important there are so many of us here tonight. So that each of us, in our own place in the world, in a school, in an office, in a factory, in a plant, working on a farm, at the shop, each of us can be an ambassador for Christ, just like St. Paul, and show the world that penance can be lightsome, that fasting can be life-giving, that alms can be an act of love, that the Christian life is not about safety and security, it's about abundance, it's about fruitfulness, and it's a little bit scary, and sometimes it's a little bit dangerous, and sometimes it even means we try things we fail at. If you haven't figured out what you're giving up for Lent yet, look at it this way. If Easter's the goal, if what we're doing is fasting to prepare for a feast, then set out what you want to be like in Easter. How you want to be in 6-7 weeks different than you are right now. What new life you need. What virtue you need to acquire. What vice you need to put away. What relationship you need to set aside. Or what relationship you need to heal and be reconciled. And then work backwards. In a real basic way, if you were going to say that, you know, the most intense period of the fast is from Thursday to Sunday, Holy Thursday to Easter Sunday, right? Or until the vigil on Saturday night. So if you were going to say, this year, I want that, I want to meet it. I want to be bread and water from Thursday to Saturday night. It's a good goal. I don't recommend everybody do it, but it's a good goal. All right, so if you were going to do that, what would you need to do from Monday to Thursday in Holy Week so that your body and your spirit were prepared to do that for those 3 days? And if that were the case, what would you need to do for the 2 weeks before that? And the 2 weeks before that? And the 2 weeks before that? Well, if that's true for food, think about it in terms of prayer. Think about it in terms of penance. Think about it in terms of alms. If I have somebody I need to be reconciled with, and I know one phone call ain't going to do it, what groundwork do I need to lay these first 2 or 3 weeks so that that big conversation I've been avoiding for years, I can have by using something? If I've got a habit, an addiction that I've been struggling with for years, and I want this broke, I want to be free from it, what is it I need to do now so that I've got real sobriety by the time I get to Easter? If I've got an idea in the back of my head that gets me into lots of trouble, that talks me down, that tells me I'm not worth it, I'm not good enough, I can't make it, what kind of changes do I need to make inside so that I'm not just showing myself I can give up chocolate, but I'm making a real difference in my own life and the life of those with whom I live? We're going to sign ourselves with ashes in just a few moments. And you're going to hear either a reminder that you're dust and to dust you return. Not because you're unimportant. You're the most important thing in the world. God died for you. That's as big a deal as it gets. But because all these acts, all these traits, all these habits, these ruts we get into, nothing. They're nothing compared to the gift that's offered here. Or you're going to hear a reminder to repent and turn toward the gospel, to orient your life to the only thing that's ever going to satisfy all the wild, raging desires of your heart. Tonight, pray. Pray for the particular grace that you need to know your sin, to know your weakness, to know your struggle, so that you, with God's grace this year, can overcome and become something truly, radically new.
Mm-hmm.